This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Volodymyr Zelensky has predicted Putin's death, imminent death. He said he will die soon. In fact, amid swirling speculation about the Russian leader's ailing health, Zelensky said Putin will die soon, and that's a fact, and it will come to an end. He said this in an interview on Wednesday with Eurovision. It follows long years of rumors about the Russian strongman's health woes, including reported strokes, multiple bouts of cancer, and even Parkinson's disease. Is it true? Is it not true? I don't know, and neither do you. But Vladimir Zelensky is convinced that it is true, and so he says it would be dangerous for the United States to ease the pressure on the Russian leader, who will die soon. In other words, the implication is it will change everything. Everything in the Ukraine and Russia and the world will change very soon. Why? Because Vladimir Putin will die. Those are the words of Zelensky. Whether or not you believe it, this is what he believes. And the question that I have before you and me and all of us here today is, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? What is history made up of anyway? Who determines history? Is God going to lift up his hand and strike Vladimir Putin with a divine stab to the heart and take him away? Well, how about Zelensky? How is it that we understand the movements of history? We say that history is his, that is God's story. And if that be true, why is it that we have such a difficult time understanding it? We try. We hear all kinds of news every single day, all kinds of news sources that tell us what they think the real news is. But have you noticed here on this program that we seldom capitulate to that which most people are talking about in the news? Why do you think that is? It's because for the most part, it doesn't matter. It's just talk. It fills up airtime. But it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't lead us to any greater understanding of the world or our own lives. It doesn't give us any kind of insight as to how we should be living, which is the whole purpose of life, isn't it? And so it's not that we're prideful about not doing those things. It's just that that's not why we're here on the air. We're not here on the air to fill up airtime with talk. We're here to deal with issues, facts that lead somewhere and that you and I can do something about, that we can respond to, that make a difference in our lives if we understand their implications. In other words, it's about transformation. Information alone is fine, but it goes nowhere. It accomplishes very, very little. But information with application in our lives accomplishes what God wants to accomplish. And that's why the problem with people reading the Bible is very great. Why is that? The problem isn't with reading the Bible. The problem is the inability or refusal to apply it, to apply it in our lives. And so we read, we brag about we read the Bible, or we read this many chapters today, or we read the Bible through in a year, or whatever, but it doesn't accomplish anything. There are a lot of people that have memorized the Bible. Well, I say a lot, quite a few. I know a gentleman who can quote chapter and verse like nobody's business. But that isn't the point. The point is, are we applying what it said? See, that's the problem that Jesus encountered with the Pharisees. They were the guys over there in Israel. They were the guys that were reputed to know everything about the Bible and to believe the Bible from cover to cover, the cover too. But Jesus took his strongest rebuke to them in Matthew chapter 23 and said, you know, you're just a bunch of whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. You know the scriptures, but you do nothing about it. You don't live them. They're not applied in your life. They're meaning nothing to you. Not really. But you do like to be seen among the people. You do like to brag about how great you are and how you're not as great a sinner as the other person. But Jesus said, you are actually preventing other people from entering in. Because not only do you not actually deliver, teach, or preach the Bible the way it should be taught and preached, but you don't even do anything about it yourself. You don't live it. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Okay, you say, well, where is this going then? Why would you open the program? And I understand your frustration. Why would you open the program with an announcement that Volodymyr Zelensky has predicted Vladimir Putin's death immediately or soon? Well, it's because of this question. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? And if so, what does it mean? Let's suppose that that were to be true. What does it mean? Well, it's pretty dramatic. It would be dramatic in the context of geopolitics, wouldn't it? But even that, what does it mean? Where does it go? I remember back in reading the book of Daniel, in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and Daniel had a vision. And in that vision, there was a great colossus, and it was in four parts, and there was a head, it was a head of gold. And God revealed to him that this head of gold was actually Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon. Okay? So that was a fact, that was a biblical understanding, a fact that God revealed. So what? Where did it go? What was the reason for identifying that? Well, for one thing, it helped to begin a process of identifying four great nations that would be upon the earth to rule the world until the second coming of Jesus Christ, who would then rule the world in righteousness. So it gave us a picture. It gave us a great picture of history from the time of Babylon to the current day today. Are we living in that time, in that ultimate time of history? I do believe that we are. I really do believe. So we have to ask the question, why are the nations raging today? You say, well, they've always raged. Yes, but they're raging in a different way now. God says in his word, prepare this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Why? Well, because the nations are determining destiny. Well, how are the nations determining destiny? That's what we want to kind of take a look at here today on Viewpoint, and I hope you'll stay tuned, friends. Who would have ever believed that World War I would have started by the assassination of an archduke there in Austria? Austria start World War I? You got to be kidding me. Who would have ever believed a lot of things that happened? We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. In my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, there's a chapter titled, Why Do the Nations Rage? Here's what I wrote at the beginning of that chapter. The nations are determining destiny. Even now, the drum roll announcing the opening of the final curtain on the divine drama of human history is fading, revealing the spectacular conflict soon to take center stage. The nations are raging. the geopolitical lines and historical alliances once deemed destined to endure the ravages of time have shifted dramatically in a single decade. Arch enemies have baffled the world, becoming end-time friends like Russia and China. Friends have become implacable foes, like Turkey and Israel. Betrayal has bereaved the world of ancient trusts. Leaving leaders bewildered at the shocking events unfolding rapidly before their terrified eyes. Indeed, the nations are being stirred in unprecedented rage. But for the student of the Bible, these circumstances were long expected and clearly foretold 3,000 years ago. In fact, they were foretold from the very Mount of God, Mount Zion, the Temple Mount. So it behooves us to take a journey back to that ancient and for many long forgotten time. We're going to do that in a very brief overview here today on Viewpoint. But before we get back to that, and you're going to still wonder, well, what does Volodymyr Zelensky and his declaration of the soon demise of Vladimir Putin have to do with any of that? It has to do with the fact that things are changing dramatically in our world. And you don't know exactly how they're going to change. Who would have ever predicted that World War I, that caused so many horrific deaths in the world, would have started by the assassination of Duke Ferdinand there in Austria? Who would have ever believed that? Very few people would have believed that. Who would have ever believed that Nebuchadnezzar, who was deemed to be and said in the scriptures to be the head of gold of four different successive powers that would rule the world leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, who would have ever believed that he would meet his demise and that ultimately his kingdom would be swallowed up just in one night by the Persian Empire? Who would have ever believed such a thing? Nobody would have ever believed that. However, God understood what was going to happen, and he revealed to Daniel that there would be another great power that would follow Nebuchadnezzar, and that was the Persian Empire. So was Persian Empire going to last forever? No. So why would a Persian Empire be raised up? Well, maybe, just maybe, if we really understood the scriptures, we would find that the Persian Empire was raised up to, for one reason, to help return Israel that had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, to help return them to Israel, the land of promise, and to assist in rebuilding the temple, the second temple. King Cyrus then was given that privilege, and he was deemed to be like an image of God himself, like a Christ-like image, King Cyrus. Now perhaps you understand even more so why Israel, in the last several years since Donald Trump gained dominion over the free world in his first season in the presidency, and Israel created a coin. On the coin was an image of Cyrus, king of Persia, and superimposed over that image was the image of Donald J. Trump. Now they've produced even more coins. And the Sanhedrin, the 71 elders of Israel, have come to Donald Trump and said, "You're our man. Maybe you were appointed to fulfill all of these promises to bring Israel back into its prominence, to bring the Jewish people back into the Holy Land, maybe even to set up some divine laws," they said just a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I believe it was February 12th, they sent a letter to Donald J. Trump saying, "Please start a divine court for the world." That's right, they did. Who would have ever believed that? Nobody would have ever believed that. In fact, they probably still don't believe it now that I mentioned it right here on the radio. because they didn't hear about that in the news. Why didn't they hear it about in the news? Because the news doesn't consider things like that important. But that's the most important thing that they should have talked about from God's viewpoint, from the biblical viewpoint. You see, our viewpoint determines destiny. If we don't have a biblical viewpoint, we don't understand what's going on. We don't have even a hint of the direction of the world and what's really happening. We'll just say, well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Okay, well, you can say that, but what does it mean? Does it mean anything? Does it have any true implications for you? Do you have any true responsibility or implications in that statement? The Bible tells us that we do and shows us why. So there are many things about tomorrow that we don't understand. I know you know that to be true. In fact, one of the great frustrations that human beings have, including professing Christians, is we don't know what we don't know. We think we know certain things, and we try to keep up on the news and so on. But the problem with it is we're not looking at it from God's viewpoint. And viewpoint determines destiny. So if we don't see it from God's viewpoint, then whose viewpoint are we seeing it from? Our own. So we're actually superimposing our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own interpretations on top of what God has already said. You say, well, God didn't say anything about the destruction of Vladimir Putin. I agree. God didn't say anything about a lot of things. But there were a lot of things that he did say something about, and maybe we should pay more attention to those things. Right? So let's not be carried away with too much information and be information addicts. Let's be more informed about what God has said and his viewpoint concerning our world, concerning the trajectory of our world, why it is going to be taking the course that it is, and where we fit in that bigger picture. Wouldn't that be a better thing? It's causing me to remind myself of a song that came out many, many years ago. It's a great song, and I'm sure that it will connect in your own mind and heart today. It goes like this. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. A dear friend of mine, I just got news today that yesterday he passed away. I've known this brother for 30 years. He's been in our congregation. He's been a dear saint, gone through many difficult trials and snares, and gone through all of them with a smile, but ultimately he lost the battle. But ultimately he won the war because he kept faithful through it all. Like the song that came out of the 1970s from Southern California, Andre Crouch and the Disciples said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Why is it we have such a hard time depending upon his word? We do. Christians all over this country, especially all over this country, have a very hard time depending upon God and his word. Because we kind of have this idea that we kind of know it all, yet on the other hand, we know that many things about tomorrow we don't understand. So we live in a world of confusion. Rather than faith, rather than stability, rather than trust, we live in a state of disequilibrium and confusion. God doesn't want it to be that way. He doesn't want it to be that way in your life or in my life. So, think about all the things in history. Who would have ever believed what would happen if Napoleon, how would anybody have ever believed that a young guy by the name of Napoleon would ever be able to take over the world the way he did? Who would have even more so ever believed that a 30-year-old guy by the name of Alexander the Great would ever, ever, ever be able to take over even a vaster reign of the world than Napoleon did. Nobody would have ever believed that, but it happened. And what were the implications of it? Well, it changed the world. It turned the world into a Greco-Roman world, ultimately. Greece, yes, but then Rome. So it was a Greco-Roman world. And that's the world we live in, a Greco-Roman world. In America and the whole Western world, we are Greco-Romans. And so we have Greco-Roman viewpoints. We even have Greco-Roman language, Greco-Roman numerals, Greco-Roman capitals. We have, we're Greco-Romans. So we think like Greco-Romans, but we don't think biblically. We don't think like Hebrews. And the Bible was written in Hebrew and then Greek, but it was written by Hebrews. So because we don't think like they do, we don't think God's thoughts the way he had it written down. We don't even understand the word believe anymore. The word believe doesn't just mean to give certain assent to certain facts, religious facts, or any other kind of facts. It means to confront, conduct your life in accordance to what you say you believe. Otherwise, you are a hypocrite, which means you're just full of hype. That's our problem. We call ourselves believers, but not really. We believe in God, but we just don't believe him. One day I wrote a piece years ago. One of the most dangerous things in America is believing in God. The devil believes in God and trembles. That's what the Bible says. So what is God looking for? That we believe in him? No. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. That doesn't get you any kudos. What gives us kudos is believing God, which means taking him at his word, conducting our lives accordingly, living without hypocrisy in fullness of trust and in faith and belief. That's what God's looking for. So amid all of the circumstances in life, no matter what's happening, what seems to be happening on the ground, we need to secure ourselves in many things about tomorrow we don't understand, or even about today. But we do know who holds the future, and we do know who holds our hand, if indeed we have committed our lives to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So, you probably have heard about the monstrous earthquake. Myanmar, horrible. Thailand, Myanmar, China, 7.7 magnitude earthquake. Horrible. I've been through a lot of earthquakes in California. The largest one was about 6 point something, but 7.7? My goodness, it's horrible. They're saying that many thousands of people are going to find their destiny, some destiny, and they had no clue what was going to happen, did they? Not one of them. Unless their dog began to bark because the dog began to sense the tribulation of the earth, tectonic shifting and so on. But they didn't know what was going to happen, and neither do you, and neither do I. We could end up with an 8-pointer in Central America, in our country, right in the heartland. One of the biggest earthquakes in this country happened right there in the Mississippi Valley. Did you know that? It was horrible. We don't know about tomorrow. The question, though, is how do these events change our world? And in what ways do they change the world? So if Vladimir Putin should soon kick over the traces and die from whatever, how would that change the world? Would it affect anything that God has said is going to take place and why he said it? Maybe we should explore that a bit when we get back. Stay tuned.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
All right, hang on to your seatbelts, my friends, because we're going to take a rather sharp shift here as we begin to apply and look into the reason why we even opened this program with Volodymyr Zelensky's statement that Vladimir Putin will soon die because of a whole lot of problems that he's been suffering from. So telling the United States, don't capitulate, put the pressure on him even the more so, because he's soon going to be gone and then everything is going to change. Okay? So then how is everything going to change? In what way is everything going to change? Do you know? Does anybody know? No, we don't know. But what we do know is that through this Russian-Ukrainian issue, NATO has been expanded in a way that it could never have been expanded without this. So the Baltic nations became part of NATO. Well, what is NATO? NATO, for all practical purposes, is the resurrection of the ancient Roman Empire that existed. It was foretold by the prophet Daniel as the last great power on earth. First, it would be Babylon, then Persia, then Greece, and then Rome. But you see, Rome never fully died. Did you know that? Rome never fully died. And so it's being resurrected in fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And it's taken, you look at the rise of the EU, which was part of the resurrection of Rome, starting back in 1950, and then moving forward to the establishment of the EU, and then the euro, the coin, and most recently, just in the last few weeks, suggestion that now they need to form their own army. Yet they said that would never happen. Well, never say never, my friend. Never say never, particularly if God has spoken. Now, I didn't say God said that there was going to be a European army, but he did say, the word clearly states that there's a resurrected Roman Empire that is taking place, just as Rome was in power when Jesus showed up as the Savior of the world and Messiah, so Rome will be in power when he returns again. Okay, that being the case, what should we make about God's viewpoint about what's happening in our world that you and I can make sense of? Well, that brings me to my book, King of the Mountain, for it said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. Let me share a few things with you from Psalm 2, which most people would not see as one of these more significant prophetic pieces of Scripture, but it is. It's one of the most significant. God asked the question, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain and foolish thing? Why do the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against Israel, his anointed, saying, let's tear their bands asunder? But the Bible says that God responds to that, saying he's going to laugh at them, at the nations, and is going to have them in derision. In other words, it's going to be great confusion on the planet. Have we not been seeing that? So, then God goes on to say through the psalmist, then shall God speak unto them, that is the nations and their rulers, in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now, why is God going to be wrathful against the nations? Because of how they treated Israel, that God said was the apple of his eye. No matter what you think about Israel, it's what God thinks about Israel. Is God happy with the way Israel conducts everything that the leaders of Israel do? No. But he made a vow. He made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He also said that he had set his king on his holy hill. So what is his holy hill? It's the Temple Mount, my friend. That's where they crucified Jesus. That's where Abraham sacrificed his only son by faith, and is the very place where the kings of the earth seek to rule and reign, from the Temple Mount. That's why they say he who rules the Temple Mount is deemed to rule the world. So let me just share this with you. No matter what happens with Vladimir Putin, no matter what happens with Zelensky, no matter what happens with Donald Trump, no matter what happens with Benjamin Netanyahu or Xi Jinping or Erdogan or any of these other powers that feel they're going to rule the world, God says, I have already set my king on my holy hill. So, who is his king? His king is the Messiah, who is coming again. He said, I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. He said, I am returned unto Zion. I'm jealous for Zion with great jealousy. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. So, how will the eternal battle for King of the Holy Mountain end? It's going to end exactly how God said it was going to end. I have set my king upon my holy hill. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come up and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And he will judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and shall beat their swords. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of the power brokers of this world shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about this, you might want to get a copy of my book, King of the Mountain. In fact, I happen to believe that this particular book helps to unfold and reveal God's plan from the beginning of history to the end. And it's over a very, very simple understanding. Every guy out there knows the phrase King of the Hill or King of the Mountain. Now, if you take that understanding and you blow it worldwide, you can well understand then what has been happening and what is going to happen in the end of the age. Soon, the nations of the earth are reconfiguring. Whether it has to do with Russia reconfiguring with China, none of which had any love affair with one another until now, whether it has to do with Turkey realigning itself with Russia when Turkey had no love affair whatsoever with Russia. You see, all of these realignments are taking place, but you never hear about it. because the way to understand these developments has nothing to do with normal geopolitics. It has to do with a much bigger picture and understanding God's intentions. And that's why I wrote the book, King of the Mountain. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling, and we'll get the book in your hands. And I can almost guarantee you're not going to be disappointed. You're just not going to be disappointed. The prophet Isaiah said, "Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob." Throughout the entire Old Testament, we find that theme. The nations are going to be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. The prophet Zechariah tells us that in chapter 14. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. There shall be one Lord, and his name one." So, the world and its leaders are in the valley of decision. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. What are we going to do? God said through the psalmist, "Wise up now, you kings of the earth, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son," that is, restore the humble relationship with Yeshua, Christ as Messiah, "lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Now, maybe you haven't done that. Maybe you haven't done that. Isn't this the time? There's no better time than the present, but you have to humble yourself to do it. You have to be willing to confess that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, that you need mercy. Otherwise, you're under judgment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So, we're all under a death penalty unless and until we receive the mercy that comes through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave himself voluntarily. He was sinless and gave himself voluntarily to be our Savior and Redeemer. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Ask him to reveal to you what you must do. But what you must do, you need to do quickly, because time is running out. Time is running out. No matter what happens with Vladimir Putin, no matter what happens with Turkey, no matter what happens in Israel at the moment, ultimately God is going to fulfill his promise. And it's going to have something to do with the Temple Mount and the King of Kings going there too.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
What's going on in our world? How in the world can we believe what's going on? Why is it that Vladimir Putin launched this new geopolitical organization, shall we say, to bring the nations of the earth together, that is, those that are not part of the Western world or the resurrected Roman Empire, to bring them together, starting with Russia and China and Brazil and South Africa, so on, bring them together, and now there are like 20, 25 nations clamoring to be part of that group. What is this about? It's about the realignment of nations to prepare for everything that was prophesied in the scripture, friends. We don't have to know all exact details. We can see the signs. It is the realignment of nations. So, we see the nations of the East coming together. We see the nations of the South, which in large measure would include Islam. Although Islam is somewhat more amorphous in terms of geopolitics. And then we see the nations of the West, the Western world, the resurrected Roman Empire. These great powers now are amalgamating to be prepared for the final events of world history that are spoken of in the book of Revelation. That the kings of the earth, the kings of the east rise up and cross the great Euphrates River, which is dried up then, so that the way of the kings of the east can become a cross, so they can launch the great battle in the valley of Jezreel, the Armageddon, that the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 16. Those things are forming as we speak. Why is it that a report just came out today that it's not just Islam or Muslims that are persecuting Christians in horrific ways? Now it's India. Who would have ever believed it? But while we're trying to negotiate wonderful things with India for economic purposes, and while Russia is playing love and trying to seduce India into its realm, Mr. Modi has declared India to be an exclusively Hindu nation. Therefore, by definition, he has declared a war against Christians, called persecution. So there are things that are uniting various aspects, countries of the world. China hates Christians. India now hates Christians. Very few Christians, relatively speaking, in India anymore. And so the configuration, both geopolitical and spiritual configurations of the world, are in the process of being reformed to set the stage for the final events, for the leaders of the world to seek to place their throne on the holiest place in the world called the Temple Mount. Now it's there that the Jewish people, the Sanhedrin that was reconstituted in 2004 for the express purpose of laying the foundation and preparing the way for the rebuilding of the temple, the third temple, because they believe it's necessary for the manifestation of the Messiah. That's their viewpoint. And so they're acting upon their viewpoint. The Muslims don't like that because they claim ownership of the Temple Mount. But the reality is they don't own the Temple Mount and never have. So there are geopolitical and religious stirrings that are moving about, but inexorably things are moving toward the rebuilding of the temple. I dare say that the Sanhedrin, the 71 elders of Israel right now in Israel, believe that Donald Trump may help them do that. I'm not saying he should do that. In fact, I'm not convinced he should do that. In fact, I would warn him against it. But I think they think maybe he's the guy. Look what he's done for us. Established the American embassy in Israel, Jerusalem. Wow. So many things. So here is the 37-acre site known as the Temple Mount, the holiest place in the world, but also the most priceless land on the planet. It's priceless, literally priceless. And the leaders of the world have their vision, including the Pope. Don't leave him out. The papacy is lusting after ruling from the Temple Mount, has already declared. We don't intend to rule from the Vatican. We intend to rule from the Temple Mount. Now, if those things are true, you know that somewhere in the midst of all of this, there is going to be a tomorrow that we can understand. There are many things about tomorrow we don't understand. But what we do know is what we can understand, and that's what this book is about, helping us to understand the end time temple, globalism versus God, the dream of dominion, the eternal city versus the holy city, Muhammad versus the Pope, the bear versus the Pope, Gog and Magog versus God, the dragon versus the eagle. All of these things are laid out to help us to understand the bigger picture, the battle for Jerusalem, the Mahdi versus the Messiah, the great game dealing with oil and gas, which is the energy that keeps the world running and its armies running, the looming battle, the mountain and the throne. All of those in this book, King of the Mountain. I really hope you won't miss it. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. Defining all of human history from creation to the end of the age. And even going before creation, when Satan encountered God on the Mount of God in heaven and declared, I will be like the Most High God, and I will ascend to the heights of the north, meaning I will rule from the Temple Mount. That's Satan's goal, and he has to do it through a human being. Who will that be? You're going to find out a lot more about that in the book, King of the Mountain. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. And, of course, there are implications for this. It's not just information. Seeing, then, that all these things are going to happen just as God said, how should you and I then live? What must we do to be ready for such a time as this? That's the real issue, isn't it? Who would have believed? In fact, the book, the prophet Isaiah said concerning the first coming of Messiah, who has believed our report? Who would have ever believed this? But it happened. Who would have ever believed that the tyrant Herod, who ruled Israel at the time of Jesus' birth, who set out to destroy all the little boy babies 2 years of age and younger in Bethlehem, who would have ever believed that that king and his demise ultimately would facilitate the very one he sought to kill returning to Israel to be raised in Galilee and ultimately to become king. While the Jewish leaders said, we have no king but Caesar. Yet God says, I have set my king on my holy hill. You see, the question is whether we agree with God's viewpoint. If you don't, if you try to superimpose your own viewpoint over God's viewpoint, you're actually a pretend God. You're a masquerading God. And that's what Americans have tried to do since April 5th, 1993, back long before that. When Time magazine had on its front cover a cross, in the lower right-hand corner were these words, the generation that forgot God. Not the generation that's going to forget God, the generation that already did. 1993, the very year we formed Save America Ministries, God called me to lead the practice of law at the height of my career, to do exactly what we're doing today. And Americans were flooding back to church after Gulf War I. But Time magazine, looking at the whole situation in their feature article called The Church Search, said church will never again be the same in America. Why? Because Americans are looking for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. In other words, Americans are looking to be God, not worship him. That's our problem. And it may be a problem that it's going to affect our geopolitical position in these end times. If we continue in that arrogant viewpoint, while claiming in God we trust, when in fact we're thumbing our nose against the God who made and preserved us a nation. It's not a pretty picture. Not pretty at all. That's why some call for revival. We don't need a spiritual awakening. We need a massive revival in God's own house. And that might precipitate a spiritual awakening in the rest of the nation. Until then, it appears we're on spiritual cruise control. And that ain't a pretty picture. Now, thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. Viewpoint does determine destiny. Your viewpoint on these issues determines destiny. It will. So there are no neutral viewpoints. God has spoken. We're trying to communicate what he has said, not things that he hasn't said, but things that he has said, so that we can understand what we need to understand. Become a partner, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. We don't have advertisers that support this program purposely, because we don't want to be under the gun or pressure of any advertiser to say or not say certain things just because they think it might affect their business. No. We're trusting God, and he's trusting you, and so we continue on. Thanks for joining us. Again, become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You might also consider giving us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or becoming a regular donor, a permanent kind of a donor, regular monthly, set it up right there on our website, saveus.org. We trust God. As long as he provides, we'll stay on the air. When that ceases, we won't. Thanks for joining us. God bless. Remember, King of the Mountain, the eternal epic and end time battle.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.